Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT Vokes with you once again here on a Sunday. Real quick before we jump into things, make sure if you're planning on watching wrestling today, the show you're hoping to see is still running. There's a lot of inclement weather out there. Make sure before you leave that you still have a show to go to. If you're up in our neck of the woods, two shows today in Portland, Oregon. You have DOA at Harvey's. And you also have blue collar wrestling like every Sunday night at the North Portland Eagles. If you got wrestling near you, go out, support what they do, and keep the independent strong. And without further ado, I am very pleased to welcome today our guest, the punk rock queen, Jamie Senegal. Welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, since it is your first time with us, we're going to start things with the first-timer's question for you. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
My aunt actually traveled with the WWE for like 30 years, and it was pretty normal when – this was way before I was alive, but it was pretty normal for like Scott Hall and – Owen and Brett just to like show up at her house unannounced because they were all like really, really close friends. And her love of wrestling slowly transitioned to me because my stepsister was into wrestling too. And we just all started doing it together. And then she eventually introduced me to my trainer, and that's how I wound up here.
Now, going into professional wrestling, did you have any type of background that was going to prepare you for such an athletic background, dramatic background, anything like that?
I took 2 years of theater class in high school because I just really always liked to be the center of attention, and I was always extra, so I thought I could take that charisma and put it to good use. And then I was also a cheerleader and a diver on my high school team.
Now, one of the things that fans have been talking about recently, something I know you wanted to get into a little bit today, is there were some pictures that were leaked that got out there and caused some controversy for you. It's been a problem in professional wrestling for several years now with the advent and the popularity of social media of pictures being leaked out there. It has wrecked a lot of careers. Hopefully it doesn't do you any real damage for your career. But go ahead and talk, if you will, about what happened and your thoughts on this problem in professional wrestling.
So I'm going to leave said person nameless because I'm handling it myself and getting this all taken care of. But I was on FaceTime with my friend who wrestles in California, St. Sinclair, and we were playing like 2K and we were fantasy booking and just being pretty goofy. And I got a text from my friend Caitlin, who is from high school, and it was a Twitter link, and I thought it was like a dumb video or something, so I didn't click on it. And then I got a call from Billy Dixon from Virginia, and I answered it, and he said, like, listen, girl, like, I'm only telling you this because I love you. Please don't flip out, but your nudes were leaked. And I, like, instantly started crying. Like, I really wasn't sure, like, what pictures. Like, that scared me, and the fact that it just felt like my innocence was taken away. Like, there was naked pictures of me online. Like, I knew who did it right away, but I just didn't want to put that in the public because I just think that it should stay to me and I should handle it myself. But it was really upsetting to me. But I tried to take the high road, and a lot of these people that it happened to, they like to stay silent or delete social media or whatever to get out of the light for a second. But I thought, even though it wasn't on a larger scale like some of these people, that I could actually take the high horse and stand up for all of us and say, like, hey, this isn't right, and speak out, because it really is the most disgusting feeling knowing that, like, I thought I could trust this person and I can't.
I'm sure that you were aware prior to this happening of various people in wrestling having this similar problem. Seth Rollins was a great example of that. He had quite a bit of controversy a few years ago when this happened to him as well. Do you think that wrestlers are a little more prone to this type of thing because they are in the public spotlight? Their fan base, in a lot of cases, are trained to dislike certain wrestlers, so it makes them more willing to do something that would damage their career when they're going based on their ring persona, perhaps. What's your thoughts on how bad is it for wrestlers compared to other people?
I definitely think that wrestlers are more prone to things like this happening, because the things I've noticed about either like entertainment groups and other kinds of artists is that the fans are way different than wrestling fans. Like, of course, there are some fans who just genuinely love to watch wrestling and are good people, but we also have a handful of, like, perverts and people who are just so crazy that just hit you up and say rude things or try to pay you to have sex with them and stuff. And I think that any of these fans that are like that would do anything to get those pictures and potentially spread them. So I think that we are pretty prone to it happening, and it's really sad when we trust somebody and they leak it, or somebody can actually break into your iCloud and take it. It's really upsetting.
One of the things that can stem from this type of incident is depression. Obviously, wrestlers get very worried about what their career will be like after this. Will it hurt their ability to make a living in their chosen profession? Depression has affected a lot of people in wrestling over the years. Another aspect that doesn't help is concussions are prevalent in wrestling, and that can lead to depression just in itself. It's a symptom of concussions. So depression is a very real problem in our industry. Can you talk a little bit about depression and how it may or may not have affected you?
Yeah, actually, when you were explaining that, the one point I was going to bring up is that us wrestlers, we get hit in the head a lot. So that is a big part of why there's a bunch of us that are depressed. And that really threw me back for, it wasn't a long time that had me feeling depressed, because I realized that I should stand up for what's right, because a lot of those people haven't, and that it has unfortunately happened to. But depression is something major that I have suffered from my whole life, and it comes and it goes, but like, I've noticed the more and more beat up I get from wrestling over the amount of time I have been, it definitely comes back, and every time it does, it slams harder. But depression, sorry, I'm losing train of thought right now. That's another side effect of getting hit in the head a lot in wrestling. But depression definitely, it's there, and it's so crazy because the thing we love the most and that makes us the happiest actually makes us depressed, if that makes sense, in wrestling.
It does, for sure.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And it's so crazy to me, but when I feel depression coming along, I just feel as though you need to find your couple coping skills, whatever they may be to them. Mine are always getting in the ring or listening to good music, something, because I don't know if it's defeatable, but you can say it is because you can defeat it at that moment, if it makes sense.
One of the things in the last couple of years that a lot of fans found inspirational was there were more people within the industry coming out talking about their depression. You had Mauro Ranallo from WWE talk very candidly about his depression and how it affected him. You had former Global Wrestling Federation announcer Craig Johnson openly discussing his long-time battle with depression and how he was seeking help. There's others out there that have been pretty open about it. Do you think the fact that more people within the industry are talking openly and candidly about depression is actually helping people within the industry get better and get treatment, or do you think that this is something that's just sort of a reflection of the change in society as far as depression goes?
I think that these wrestlers who are opening up and talking more and more about their personal struggles, I think it's actually helping everyone as a whole, because for the longest time, to me, wrestlers were never personable before I started wrestling, and they were always stars on the biggest level, and I could never relate to them. And I think it's giving everyone, including other wrestlers backstage and fans and people who just genuinely follow you if they don't watch wrestling or they just are intrigued, I think it gives them a place where they can relate to you. And as a public figure, people do look up to you. So when you get to speak out like that, I feel like it does add some sort of motivation, or like the thought process of, hey, I can get through this. If Jamie can deal with it, so can I, you know, I'm not alone. So I think it actually helps a lot in the long run.
One of the more controversial aspects of professional wrestling in the last several years has been the aspect of blood in wrestling. It's been something that's been a part of the industry since the very, very beginning of it, being a contact sport. There's always going to be incidental instances of blood in matches, but more and more fans and people in the industry are shying away from seeing intentional blood in matches just because of health concerns and more knowledge about what diseases are out there. A lot of commissions require blood tests before you can be licensed to ensure safety. What's your thoughts on blood in professional wrestling as it relates to the year 2019?
I think as long as it is done with good purpose, or I most importantly, as long as these people who are bleeding are clean, first off. That's my first say on that, is if there's no disease, I think everyone who is going to bleed should be tested. But I think if it's used properly, I think it's great. Like, I feel like I love death matches. Personally, I love watching them. I think they're great. If you didn't bleed in them, I don't think it would make sense. So it would be cool. Same thing with certain regular hardcore matches as well. And I think a good story can be told out of bleeding. I recently wrestled Ashton Starr on a Matter of Pride in October, and we kind of had a storyline going where he was just ducking me and we didn't like each other. And then when we finally had our singles match, I had accidentally busted my own nose and it bled everywhere. And it looked as if, like, from I assume from a fan's perspective, it looked like he busted my nose. So it just looked that much better to for the story aspect that we don't like each other and he just hit me and I was bleeding everywhere. So I think it can be done good, and as long as people are clean, I think it's okay.
Now, in wrestling, one of the more important aspects for the athletes is their diet. A lot of wrestlers are extremely particular when it comes to what they put in their bodies as far as food goes. Some people are super concerned with calories and proteins, that sort of thing. Others are much more lax with it. Do you have a particular diet that you adhere to right now to maintain ring shape?
Right now, my main thing is I really only drink water or hot tea because sugary drinks really get to you. They can really pack on pounds, and I've noticed that. Like, I was actually doing good without drinking soda for a while, and I lost a lot of weight, and then I started drinking it again, and I gained even more than I lost back. So I, just in the last 3 weeks of not drinking any soda, I've lost over 5 pounds. So definitely no sugary drinks. I still once in a while really like to have a little snack here or there, a little piece of chocolate or something. But I'm really good with, like, rice and lots of meat. I like to stick with white meat rather than red meat, but I'm also, I think I'm in good shape, but I don't look like a extreme bodybuilder. So when I do want to get into that mood, I actually have a meal plan that I paid for that I follow.
One of the things here in 2019 that is really nice about wrestling is with the advent of social media and streaming services and traditional television outlets, more independent companies than ever are able to put out some form of a specialized product, for lack of a better term, not all on television, but a lot of it streamed and so forth. When you go to a show that is going to be either on broadcast television or a specific YouTube channel or some sort of streaming service, and it's either live or film specific or broadcast, is there a different mindset for you when you wrestle on one of those shows as opposed to a show that's only going to be seen by the spectators in the building that night?
Absolutely not. Every time I go to a show, I always give it all I got. I do work differently, but I still give it 110% each time. But, like, obviously if there is a camera or I'm streaming or something, I have to work towards the cameras rather than if there's not, I can work with the crowd a little more. But I always go in putting it all. Like, I know there is a couple people who will, like, work way harder for cameras and a lot less harder and be like, oh, man, if something messes up, they're like, oh, man, it was just, there's no cameras or anything. Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, to me, it matters because that person paid to come see you wrestle. Like, that matters to me.
Al, you have been all over the United States for wrestling. You've wrestled in a lot of different promotions across a wide number of states. A lot of wrestlers have a particular venue that's their favorite for whatever reason, be it the aesthetics, be it they just enjoy the fan base it frequents it, or because it has a nice accommodations to it. What would you say is your favorite venue where you wrestle?
I actually have two favorite venues. Well, actually three. But my first is the Fest Wrestling venue, 8 Seconds in Gainesville, Florida, because it's like a punky bar with a little country twang to it. It has a big bowl and it's wood floor and it kind of looks like a saloon, and I really, really like that. I also really like the PWX Pure building because it's a very nice building with a cool stage and a Titantron, and it leads right to the ring with a ramp. And it's a decent sized building, but it's kind of close together. So everything sounds really loud, and the crowd, when it fills up and there's like standing room only, it's the coolest feeling ever. And it's really loud. And my third favorite would be one of the places where I was training in the beginning of my career and spent a lot of time there, the Sanctuary in Hazleton, PA, which is an old church that John Trotsky, Supremely Great, turned into a wrestling show. It's so beautiful, and all the paintings and everything around it, and there's pews as seats, and it's really special. And the ramp leading to the ring from the stage is actually the, like, one of the original WrestleMania rings.
One of the jobs in wrestling that a lot of people that aren't in the industry overlook, but it's possibly the most important one if you're within the industry, is the job of the booker. They hire and fire talent. They put together what's going to be seen in front of the fans, who wrestles who, that sort of thing. I know you're still pretty early in your career, but looking down the road, is being a booker something that you've given much thought to at this point?
I actually already am. I have ran multiple shows already. I used to run a women's show at the Sanctuary in Hazleton called the Diamond Division, and I also, Colby Carino and I ran our birthday bash at the Sanctuary in Hazleton, and I've done a couple other shows here or there, and it's a lot of fun, but to me it's something that I have to do in moderation because it gets very, very stressful. Luckily, a lot of the people that I book are just genuine people who know, like, hey, I would come and wrestle for you too if you were booking a show. So, like, it's a lot of my good friends, and it's cool, but it gets really stressful when you have to put an entire show together because sometimes people know show or things happen, and picking out dates and all the above, it gets pretty stressful.
One of the promotions you mentioned a little bit earlier is one I wanted to ask about. There is a promotion that you've wrestled for numerous times called A Matter of Pride Wrestling. It's a little bit different than a lot of your traditional standard independents. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that promotion is and what it means to you to wrestle for them?
A Matter of Pride is very special. It is it's a LGBT wrestling promotion, LGBTQ wrestling promotion, and we have straight allies that wrestle there, and then we have girls who wrestle there, some straight, some bisexual, some gay, and we have our more straight-looking gays and then the more feminine gays, and we all get to come together and be ourselves, and it's like a safety net almost because, like, sometimes it does get a little rough, like being gay on the indies, openly gay. It gets a little rough sometimes, so that's kind of like a safety net, and it's really special.
WWE recently, in the last couple of years, had what I believe was their first openly gay wrestler. He on TMZ outed himself, I believe, and WWE recognized that on their social medias. When that happened, did you see anything as far as having the door open for more acceptance as far as that community in a major national company like WWE, or do you think it was something they did for the publicity, or do you think it was something that he did on his own and WWE was forced to recognize it? How did you feel when that first came about?
I felt like it was a major thing for the business as a whole, but for WWE, I didn't really think it was because after that, they really didn't do much with him. There's so much they could have done to bring on the LGBT community. So I just feel like, as a whole, I think it gave a lot of strength to people to start coming out as gay in wrestling. But for WWE, I don't really think it did much at all.
When you look at the history of professional wrestling, there's been a lot of gimmicks where the wrestlers were more effeminate than what they really were outside of the ring. A lot of gimmicks like your Chuck and Billy's and adorable Adrian's and that type of thing were put on straight men to try to appeal to that type of audience. Usually they were portrayed as the heels. When you look at the history of that type of gimmick in wrestling, do you think that in the last few years wrestling has made a major difference in turning things around as far as that goes, or do you think that that is still something that is out there that's maybe not a positive thing for professional wrestling?
It's definitely still out there. I'm not sure if it's a positive or a negative, because I think if someone can do it classy and correctly and tastefully, I think it's a great thing. Like, I never heard anybody ever say anything bad about Raisha Saeed when cheerleader Melissa was playing her, because it was done very tastefully and it was classy. So I think it's kind of the same thing, whereas if somebody is going out there and wearing pink blush in the shape of a circle, excuse me, and walking around like the worst type of, almost like how Peter Griffin was in the episode where they made him gay, I think that can slightly be offensive. But I also have really thick skin, and I know it's wrestling, and that's always how it has been, so it doesn't really bother me. But I also don't think it makes a difference towards people like me, because I think the crowds are so smart to it now that they can see when somebody's playing, and then they can see when someone's, like, really gay. Like, I've been on a couple shows where someone plays gay, and they really don't get a reaction, and then I will come out, and I don't want to say I'm doing it better, but it's who I am naturally, and they can not necessarily relate, because I'm sure there wasn't really that many gay people in the crowd, but they could see that it was natural and it's who I am and I'm being myself, and they could accept and like that more.
Are we also, besides having the first openly gay active roster member at WWE, saw Pat Patterson officially come out? It was very open secret for the most part that Pat Patterson was gay, but he admitted to being so on the network show Legends House, and then again in his autobiography he made that a central theme as what he went through as a gay man in wrestling in a time when it wasn't as accepted as it would be today. Did you happen to read Pat Patterson's book and get any thoughts on what his story was like?
I never read his book, but I actually am a member of Cauliflower Alley, and I have gone there a couple times, and I've seen him speak, and I've seen the way some of our old-timers and legends treat him and how they all get along, and it's still, they really don't treat him any different, and I think that's very special, and I think that shows a lot. I think that there's a stigma that people like to believe that if you're a veteran in wrestling, you're automatically homophobic or racist or whatever. But, like, my experiences from going to Cauliflower Alley, like, it's a family. They're families, and everyone still loves Pat. So I think that's very special, and it's very inspiring to make me want to be myself, seeing the positive reinforcement that comes with him.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has some questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Okay.
See.
Hello?
QT, you with us?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did I get cut?
Okay, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Hi, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jamie, you were sign guy, and you went over your match with Ashton Starr, and I got a good look at your YouTube video
A Matter of Pride, October 18th, 2018. And when I first saw your ring attire and entrance, I was reminded of the rock and roll artist David Bowie, Alice Cooper, the New York Dolls, and Mötley Crüe. Are you familiar with these artists and groups, especially the New York Dolls, with singer David Johansen and doomed guitarist Johnny Thunders?
Some of them I'm not familiar with, but I've always taken great inspiration from David Bowie. I love David Bowie and how unapologetically he was himself. And I think that was such a big stamp on society that it gave you people like Lady Gaga and stuff as well, who are unapologetically themselves. And I think that it's a beautiful thing. And I definitely draw a lot of inspiration from David Bowie for sure.
Now, have you gone back in YouTube history and looked up his character, Ziggy Stardust?
Yes, I love Ziggy Stardust.
How crucial was his guitarist, Mick Ronson, to the success of David Bowie in your opinion? And do you yourself play guitar?
I do not. Guitar is actually the one thing I wish I could play. And Colby Carino is really good at playing. And I tried, we were on video chat once, and I tried to get him to teach me, and I just couldn't figure it out. But I wish I could. I'm not quite sure how to answer that one because I'm not too familiar with the insides of David Bowie's music. I've just always taken inspiration from, like, his music in general. I've never really looked into it. Because I just always was left with such a feeling when it played that I could just, like, close my eyes and feel it.
He was a very good dancer, too. Very good dancer.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a man of many, many, many talents. When he passed away, I cried a lot.
I heard that when he came to New York in the late 70s and early 80s, they had a lot of the leftover disco clubs in Manhattan, and he was known for his dancing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yes. I remember seeing videos of him dancing and stuff, and he's so good, and especially I just think he's so amazing on every level. Like, he's such an artist. I can't even put it into words how he makes me feel, because I truly know that so many people in pop culture wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for him.
That's true. He was a pioneer, and he broke out around the same time as Freddie Mercury of Queen. My question is, have you seen the rock video Freddie Mercury at Live Aid 1985?
Which video?
Freddie Mercury at Live Aid 1985.
I have not, but I have seen a bunch of his live performances because I really do love Queen.
Oh, okay. Well, may I recommend that after our interview is over and you have some time, that you go on YouTube and look up the video Waiting for the Hammer to Fall, performed by Queen at Live Aid. Hammer to Fall.
Yes. Yes, I definitely will. Send me the link and I will definitely watch that.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Now, I asked you about David Bowie and Alice Cooper and the New York Dolls, like with singer David Johansen, because rock and roll and wrestling have always had a symbiotic relationship. But even though you reminded me of the above artists and acts, it is 1980s supergroup Twisted Sister that most personifies you, in my opinion. And I'm not talking about lead singer Dee Snider. I'm talking guitarist and founding member J.J. French.
Yeah, Twisted Sister was another group that when I was a child, I always listened to because my dad always made me listen to rock music. And I was so brought up around 80s music and hard stuff. Like, it's very normal to catch me listening to, like, Lori Chaco or Poison and all those glam bands. Those were really where I got my looks from. And it's funny because I actually had this conversation with my dad because of him growing up in that generation. I said, wasn't it weird for you to see those guys dressing like that when you would see them in concert and stuff? Like, because it's never weird for him to see me. But I just thought, and he said, no, they're just performers writing really cool music, making their art. And that's what my dad said, how he feels about me, that my character is no different than them.
Wow. All right. Well, Jamie, are you aware that J.J. French had an early tryout for the then-forming group Wicked Lester, who had Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons in it? Wicked Lester.
No. No, I did not know that. Gene Simmons is another one that I love Gene Simmons.
Well, his tryout for this group may have been like your audition for A Matter of Pride Wrestling. Can you tell us, when you first got to A Matter of Pride Wrestling, was there a tryout?
No, I was. I left my homestead and went to CZW, where I was automatically paired with Rick Cataldo and Eddie McQueen, and we made the Solid Twins Academy in WSU. And Rick had wanted to make a LGBT wrestling show, and he automatically made me a part of it because I was one of his young boys. I was one of his people that he was bringing up and having me around with him.
Well, okay. All right. Well, now, Jamie, getting back to your wrestling match against Ashton Starr, do you know if Ashton Starr falls under the sign of Virgo? And what's his birthday? Is it in September?
I don't know when Ashton's birthday is. I think I'm pretty sure his birthday is kind of near mine because I'm a Virgo, too. And he came to my birthday bash show that I ran. And I think we might have had this conversation. I just get hit in the head a lot, so it's hard for me to remember. But I'm pretty sure we've had this conversation.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Now, Jamie, you mentioned to Sign Guy before about this training place called the Sanctuary. And I did see a couple of photos of it on your Facebook page. You know, is this a place for
the audio just cut out entirely, and I missed that entire thing.
Oh, okay. The sanctuary was discussed earlier with Sign Guy. Is this a place also for theatrical live-action art?
The sanctuary is the owner would like to make it everything, actually. He has that as a place where politicians can go and they can see and debate. He has it as a place where you can go as a community. Like, when there's, like, parades and stuff, he leaves it open and the community can walk through. It's a place where you can come see stunt fighting. It's a place where you can come. We can make it into a public club where you can just listen to music and hang out. We hold video game tournaments there. It's a really cool place. He tries to be very, very versatile with it.
Now, what's underneath the church? Do they have catacombs of buried rookie wrestlers who didn't show respect to their trainers?
Underneath the sanctuary is all my victims that I caught over the 2 years of me working there weekly.
Oh, oh, very good. Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, Jamie, can you tell us about your upcoming match on February 2nd against Mumbles Italiano, who bears a striking resemblance to Santino Marella?
I'm really excited for this match because it has been a while since I've been at Phoenix Pro. It actually, I haven't been there since last February, so being able to return is very exciting. And I'm super excited. I'm not really sure what to expect out of this match yet, but he said he wasn't going to be nice to me, so I told him, well, if he's not nice to me, I'm going to kick his head off his shoulders. So I'm a little excited for this. And by a little, I mean a lot.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, Jamie, in your match with Ashton Starr, do you recall who the ringside commentator was who looked like pioneering fashion diva RuPaul?
Her name is Pauline, and she is a drag queen. We got her on the show because we thought it would be really cool to have a little New York legend running around, and she was really funny. Some of the comments were pretty offensive, but I think that's just because in drag, they say offensive jokes and it's okay because it's drag, but I don't think it's okay to bring to wrestling. But I think for the most part, it was pretty funny. I liked her a lot.
She seemed to be a little bit freaked out after you pinned Ashton. You had a little bit, you mentioned the blood, and she was a little bit put off by the blood. She made some type of comment that made me laugh.
Yeah, she definitely was freaked out by it, and I knew she was because I heard her, like, she didn't, like, mumble something, but I know when she noticed I was bleeding, she looked a little freaked out. So as soon as I pinned Ashton and got the three count, I looked right at her, and I wiped the blood on my hands and licked it right off. It was also a cute little way to pay homage to one of my wrestling moms, Daphne. I know she did that in a match with Tara back in TNA in a First Blood match, so I thought that would be funny and do that to Pauline since she was a little freaked out.
Yes, at that moment, when you were looking over at Pauline, I got the impression that you looked kind of like Gene Simmons when he sings his song, God of Thunder.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And that's
awesome. A very high compliment. Yes. Very high
compliment. Yeah, that's so. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Well, Jamie, you said you were a diver in high school. Did you see the movie Rick Rodney Dangerfield Back to School, where he was on the school's dive team and he did a dive from the sea landing?
The audio just got a little fuzzy again. I'm still driving home from North Carolina, so it might be in and out here, but I couldn't hear that.
Oh, okay, no problem. I was sitting close to my computer. That may have had an effect. But the question was, you said you were a diver in high school. Did you see the Rodney Dangerfield movie Back to School, where he was on the school's dive team and he did a dive called the Lucky Lindy?
I've seen that part of the movie. I never saw that movie, but I was always told, like, my family would always tell me to do that dive, and I was like, what is that? So they pulled up the clip, and I thought it was so funny. But the movies I really like to watch that revolved around swimming were, like, The 13th Year from Disney Channel and stuff when I was younger, and that really got me intrigued about swimming.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, I liked it when Rodney Dangerfield first stepped on that high dive and he tested the wind.
Yeah. Another good one was in Shallow Hal when she jumped off the, what was it, the high dive or the diving board, and all the water shot out, and then the boy landed in the tree.
Yes.
That was another good one.
Okay. Yes, I agree. Well, Jamie, given your theatrical background in high school, at one time, did you consider a career in the circus? Because we have a wrestling clown out here in the Northwest called Sideshow, and he's from the dark side of the tent.
I've never thought about being in the circus. I've always joked around about running away to it. But the circus kind of scares me. Like, I love going to see it, but I mean, it's to me, it's also no different than wrestling, so I shouldn't be scared of it. But, like, anything can happen at the circus in 1 second, and you can really get hurt or messed up there. So it always freaked me out.
That's true. Like a lion could get loose, or an elephant. Yes.
Oh, see, I've always loved lions. Lions are my favorite. I used to go to the zoo, and I would just stand by the lion exhibit for hours, and my friends would want to go elsewhere, and I'm like, no, you guys can't. I'm just going to hang out with this lion. I've always loved lions. So I think if I were to work at a circus, I would be working with the lions.
Would that did you have a preference for the male lion or female lion that does all the hunting?
I think it's really cool when the female lions do the hunting, but my favorite lion will always be your typical male lion with a nice big mane. I just love lions, like the lions that are in Botswana during the dry season. I think they're so cool. Speaking of lions, my best friend, when we were in ninth grade, I was FaceTiming her, and she was driving down the street with her dad right in her development. And she noticed that her neighbor has a pet mountain lion.
Ooh, wow. Pet mountain lion.
In a little development.
Oh, boy, that's eye-opening. Jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
Especially because they just moved there. And I'm pretty sure, like, I think that's something kind of important. Like, if I just moved in to a development and my neighbor had a mountain lion, I would really appreciate if they told that to me.
Yes. Boy, yeah, that's something you mentioned. Holy smokes, okay. Well, Jamie, did you turn out for cheerleader in high school all 3 years, and did the moves that you incorporated into your cheerleading, has that helped you out in the wrestling ring? I have a feeling it did.
Oh, yes, it definitely did. I didn't cheer for the full high school experience because I was kind of going in between diving and cheer, and the winter cheer was always the one I wanted to do, but I also loved diving, and I couldn't do both. But I always cheered during the summertime and right into the beginning of school because that's when we got to work 24/7 at it. I wasn't really good with grades. I wasn't really the smartest in school, so I never really got to cheer during like the winter and stuff, and that's why I turned to diving, because diving was different and it got me in better shape physically and mentally. And I definitely did get to take some stuff from cheerleading to wrestling, because in cheerleading we throw people and we catch them, and it made me a lot less scared of physical contact.
Wow, okay, I could see that in your wrestling videos. Okay, yes. All right, I know you do a lot of arm drag takedowns. Yes.
Yeah, I love arm drags. I remember when I was in cheer, my other friend, my cheer team was like the Band of Misfits. We were all either punk rockers or just party people. Like, we were the randomest cheer squad. And another girl really liked wrestling, so we used to go to cheer practice and we would wrestle on the mat. And just goof around, and man, I was always told, like, why are you in cheer? What can you bring that into your future with? And I'm like, every time there's a video clip of me doing some sort of flip or being able to throw someone real high, I say, and people ask me what I could incorporate cheer with in my future.
Oh, very good. Okay. Now were you a big fan of the Spirit Squad, the WWE Spirit Squad?
I definitely liked their feud with DX. I always thought that was really funny, but I think from the cliche wrestling standpoint where we put in stereotypes, it was fantastic, but like that was such a crazy moniker of what a male cheerleader really is.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Well, Jamie, on this topic of suicide, what are the pioneering rock acts in punk rock, especially for women, was the pioneer Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics, who battled depression and unfortunately ended up killing herself. She left home at 16 and hitchhiked to Colorado, earning money by crocheting string bikinis. She then traveled to Florida and Europe, landing such jobs as a lifeguard, a stripper, and server at Dunkin' Donuts. She was close to Lenny of Motorhead and Joey Ramone of the Ramones. She was also in the 1986 movie Reform School Girl. May I recommend the video on YouTube, Butcher Baby, by Wendy Williams of the Pathetic movie. Butcher Baby.
Yes, please. I am totally open to YouTube videos. I'm on YouTube most of my week. So any videos that you would like to recommend, I am always down to watch.
Oh, okay. All right. And you might also look up Wendy O. Williams on the Joan Rivers Show, 1987. That's a very good one.
Oh, wow. Joan Rivers, she was a big part of my childhood as well. That's probably where I got a lot of my sass and my glam from, Joan Rivers.
Oh, good. Okay. So those are two videos, plus Freddie Mercury at Live Aid waiting for the hammer to fall. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, Jamie, I was very interested to find out that you went to the Cauliflower Alley Club. Have you had a chance to talk privately with B. Brian Blair, one of the Killer Bees?
Honestly, I really don't remember because it was 2 years ago. I went when I was a senior in high school, and the most memorable parts of Cauliflower Alley for me were I did a couple seminars, and I got to speak to Bill Apter, which I was already friends with him because I was seeing him very frequently at that point in time, and I sat next to him. We sat next to Bruce and Diana Hart, and I remember we were sitting there during the reunion, and that's when they announced that Balls Mahoney had passed away. So that was it was a touching and very emotional moment. And I also remember I met Trish Stratus that day.
Wow, Trish Stratus, very good. Ooh, a very classy lady. Man, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Jamie,
that was very special.
Yes. At this moment, I would like for you to maybe make a commitment with Sign Guy and myself to get B. Brian Blair front-of-the-line privileges at the DMV and other assorted venues. Will you join us in our quest?
Yes, I will. Oh, I will.
Because he deserves front-of-the-line privileges as much as David Beckham and Paul McCartney. Yes.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Okay. Sign Guy, we have a commitment.
Yes.
And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Glad to have you on the show, Jamie.
Okay, thank you.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Jamie, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug or promote anything and everything you got, merchandise, upcoming shows, social medias, your favorite seafood restaurant, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
You guys can follow me on my social media. My Instagram and my Twitter is both at the Jamie Senegal, SENEGAL, and my YouTube channel is www.youtube.com/C/Jamie Senegal Wrestling. That's a tongue twister. And my Facebook is www.facebook.com/Jamie.Senegal.1. Jeez, I'm really doing a number on myself. But you can use my promo code for 10% off on collar and elbow. It is Punk Rock Queen. K-W-E-E-N, or you can also buy my merchandise on fullygimmicked.com or Pro Wrestling Tees, as well as if you come and see me at the following shows, you can get some of my T-shirts, stickers, and 8x10s too. I will be at Phoenix Pro in Altoona, Pennsylvania on February 2nd. February 9th, I will be at PWX Pier in Charlotte, North Carolina. February 16th, I will be at GCW 420 in Tampa, Florida. And then that same day, I'm also going to Punk Pro Wrestling in Newport Richey, Florida. And I will also the next day be at Fest Wrestling in Gainesville, but I won't be wrestling. I'm just going to be hanging out because I love Fest and I'm going to be in town anyway, so I might as well just go. And there's a couple other ones off the top of my head, but I'm missing them right now because I don't have my calendar in front of me. But I will be posting them on all the social medias, so just stay in touch. And for any of you who are ever suffering from depression or feel like you're alone, please, I am just a message away on social media. So I will always be there to talk and listen because you are not alone. And I really understand what it feels like to feel like that. So I will always be there for you.
Well, Jamie Senegal, the punk rock queen, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. I appreciate you taking time today to be with us. Safe travels to you as you head home. Fans, if you get the chance to see Jamie perform, go buy a ticket. Jamie Senegal, very, very good. I think he will be popping up on your television at some point in the next couple of years, so you definitely want to jump on the bandwagon early. I also want to mention, I was remiss earlier in the show notes, if you're in the Everett, Washington area, you can also check out Without a Cause Wrestling today. They're doing great things there in Everett, Washington, so support them if you are in the area. And we will be back with you next week. 1 week from today, we will have Salim Abbas with us all the way from Wrestle Club. So make sure you have plans in place, and we'll talk to you then.
Just before.